This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This bus family selling the Lakers.
You sort of knew this was coming.
What will the transition period look like?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Genie Bus here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You know, it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. This is a family business. Most of the businesses in this country are family-owned businesses.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Prime Video TNF analyst Andrew Whitworth. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number one of the Rich Eisen Show featured Daniel Jeremiah coming on after I played the win-loss game for the Kansas City Chiefs and had them go 15-2 again. Since then, Andy Reid announced Rashee Rice will be ready for training camp. There you have it. Rich is the number, dial. You want to play the win-loss game? Great. We're doing what's more likely today because we're off tomorrow. Because we're all off to New York City to take part in Fanatics Fest on Saturday at the Javits Center. If you're out there for Fanatics Fest, come by 10:30 Eastern. Chris Brockman and I conducting Overreaction Monday in front of a live studio audience.
Yes, sir. Can't wait.
We did it last year. We're doing it again. No contest wrestling, 4:30 Eastern?
I believe it is. It's 4:15, 4:30.
Okay, in the 4 o'clock hour.
In that 4 o'clock hour.
Hey.
Nice. This is amazing, bro. I just want to tell you that.
Well,
because a few months ago when O'Shea and I announced this with you, I said that you guys had got to do your pod at Fanatics Fest. And I said
last year.
Yeah. I said how awesome it would be. And that was my goal for us to get there. And it didn't even take a year.
Do you have a guest lined up?
Yeah, man. We do.
Who is it?
Booyaka Booyaka, Mr. 619, the greatest masked wrestler of all time, Rey Mysterio.
How cool is that?
Nice. It is going to be phenomenal,
right. That's
man.
Awesome.
Like,
in front of a live audience on the center stage there at Fanatics Fest. That's awesome.
We get to talk to Rey, and I mean, he's had a 30-year career, just amazing. So this is going to be really dope.
I shouldn't use the conditional phrasing, but I don't know the answer to my question. That would be great if O'Shea got a flight. Did he get a flight yet?
I know he has a hotel, so I'm assuming he has a flight. Yeah.
Don't know. Don't know.
You know, look, man, you can lead a horse to water, but no, I'm not going to sell my man out. Okay. He's got a hotel, so I know maybe he's taking a train. I don't know.
Well, speaking on behalf of
Greyhound,
speaking on behalf of the man in charge of the Rich Eisen Productions budget. Do we know which hotel? How many stars it is?
Yeah, the one you're staying in, I think.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Some suite there.
Suite? Uh-oh.
Penthouse.
Yeah. Penthouse.
I'm in a Motel 6 in Hoboken, just so you know.
I'm you trying, take the ferry
what
over.
The what?
I'm trying to save some money, Mike.
Go to Fanatics Fest and see us.
Check us out,
Let's
man.
Check us out. It'll be a lot of fun.
Please say hi.
No, O'Shea will be there. I promise you that.
So we're here. You were there. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Mike Del Tufo is back on the program after a week and a half hiatus. Now we know what you've been up to. Mike,
what do we got?
You are brokering the sale of the Los Angeles Lakers. Very good job.
Because I'm a Dodger fan. You know, they have owners.
Yeah, that's where they reached out to you. They reached out to you.
I was the guy that went to
you.
Johnny.
Know value when you see it, Mike. You know value when you see it. You know what
to
do.
Like the Yankees have no value right now.
Wow.
I mean,
I would tell you this: the New York Yankees. The Dallas Cowboys, I think any owner of any other professional North American sports team, kind of happy.
Oh, my God.
Hearing that not even the full boat of the Los Angeles Lakers is worth $10 billion. Just a portion of the Lakers is worth $10 billion.
No, that's not true. It's a $10 billion valuation.
Uh-huh.
So Genie sold about half for five.
I mean,
semantics.
Dude.
Just math.
You know.
The full valuation of the team is $10 billion.
Math matters.
So the Cowboys.
Yeah, but you can't say that's good for everyone because there's only two, three franchises that can command any more money than that, I wouldn't think.
We know billion. Jerry ain't selling.
No.
Yeah, but if he wanted to, he'd get 20 at this point. But, you know.
What do we know about the new owner of the Los Angeles? Jeannie Buss, by the way, congratulations to you, Jeannie.
Yeah.
Because according to all reports, she has been the one who has been shepherding this deal. And I imagine, you know, the last thing she really wanted to do deep down was sell the Lakers, get out from the family business in terms of being the controlling owner of the Los Angeles Lakers. But I'm sure she kept on saying, not enough. Nope, not yet. Nope, not yet. Nope, not yet. $10 billion. Okay. I'll talk to my siblings and we'll get a majority vote because apparently that's what Jerry put in his trust, that the only people who could sell the team are his kids, and they had to have a vote and a majority vote, and Jeannie Buss is the one who put it all together and got this deal across the finish line and turned a $66 million and change acquisition of the team back in the day into a $10 billion sale. Congrats to you, Jeannie Buss, and the Lakers, and the fact that she's going to still be the governor of the team for the foreseeable future, and that makes sense. She's a terrific face front individual in this town. She is associated with the Lakers. She also has, relationships, one would think, business-wise, that are too valuable to sideline if you're new to the NBA. She knows other governors. She knows how to negotiate. She knows how to read the room politically. And now, one would think, the days, knowing the new owner of the team, Christopher, I give you the floor here on what you know.
Yeah, Mark Walter, Rich, you and him have something in common, degrees from Northwestern.
That's right.
He's a Creighton guy. He's from Iowa. JD from Northwestern as well. Big in the sports world. In addition to being CEO of the Guggenheim Partners, you know, a private global financial services firm, $325 billion in assets that they manage. Big. He owns a quarter of the Dodgers. He owns 12% of Chelsea, the Sparks. He owns a Formula One team, Women's Professional Hockey League. He sits on boards at Creighton and Northwestern. Mm-hmm. He did own 27% of the Lakers before this, and now he's buying an additional 48%. So he now takes over 75% majority owner of the Lakers.
And one would think, based on just take a look at what they're doing with the Dodgers. The days of, we're not paying coaches, we're not paying this, we're not paying that, we're not going to be in the top percentile of spending. I would imagine those days are over. I don't know, does he, when he gets Luka to sign the max, does he get him to defer 99% of the deal so they avoid the second apron? Is that what they do? Say, you can get it in terms of retirement. Hey, Luka, I'd love for you to meet Shohei Ohtani. Shohei, do you want to tell Luka how we're paying you? Would you like to maybe... get together and discuss how we're paying Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei would be like, Luca, when we're 55, we buy each of these teams with the money exactly we have coming.
Luca, apparently, according to reports, he got a heads up that the deal was coming. A short heads up. And Luca called the Lakers an amazing organization. I'm looking forward to meeting Mark. Excited about the future. Grateful to Jeannie and the Buss family for welcoming me to LA. I'm happy that Jeannie will continue to be involved. I look forward to working with both of them to win championships. That's a man who's going to stay here, huh? Yeah, he's looking slimmer, and the future's looking fatter. To Luka Doncic.
Crazy.
LeBron and Luka. And what does this mean for the front office? What does this mean? I don't know. Jeannie's going to keep running it, and they'll just keep it running it back with just more money behind it, which is kind of frightening if you're the rest of the league. The association, there's still, you know, obviously caps and things of that nature.
But if they don't care about paying luxury tax and all that
aprons.
Stuff, then what does it matter? They're just going to acquire everyone just available. Go. Yeah.
Just blow past aprons. Is there a third apron?
They might create one.
They might create one. Call it a Laker apron?
Yeah, just for this. I don't know.
Oh, and, you know, Magic pointing out that the Lakers are worth more than the Celtics. That was one of my favorite tweets as well.
Yep.
You know, hey, when the Celtics went for $6 billion, I knew the Lakers were worth $10.
Cool.
Chat EMJ, right?
Yes. Chat EMJ.
Chat EMJ, pop that one out. Listen, if you are Jerry Jones, if you are the Steinbrenners, if you are anybody that owns a team, in sports, right? Every NFL owner is like, the Lakers are worth $10 billion. The prices have gone way up.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching. Yeah,
Josh Harris got a deal getting Washington
right?
for six and whatever.
Did you see the original acquiring prices of all NBA teams? I saw the list of current franchises of what they went for under current ownership. The Knicks, Dolan bought them for $300 million.
Oh,
if the Lakers are worth $10 billion, what are the Knicks worth? Okay.
12.
Right. Jerry Reinsdorf.
That's the one. It was like $10 million or something?
$16 million he bought the Bulls for.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's cheap.
But that's late 80s prices.
Well, I understand that. You but know? Now, it's off the charts.
Yeah.
Off the charts. And I don't know how he's going to figure he's going to make his money back. But again, as you pointed out, it's not like, oh, do I have $10 billion on me? Here it is all at once. It's not even that much either. Because there's right.
Right.
But still, it's a massive chunk of change that one would think they're only going to keep following up on, right? By plugging more money into the system and making them even better and blowing past aprons. And that's why if I'm Luca, I'm like, hey, nice to meet you.
Hey,
Fat Stacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fat Stacks.
Fat Stacks.
You know,
Stacks.
Nice to meet you. You know, does Luca now throw out a first? I mean, it makes sense too. Dodgers, Lakers, right?
Makes sense.
Your guy, Ballmer. I mean, remember when he bought the Clippers for $2 billion? Everyone's like...
Overpaid.
He overpaid, and it's just like, he's the richest. He's one of the richest people on the planet.
He could.
$2 billion for the Clippers looks
yeah, but here's
great
the deal.
To
deal.
Me now.
Again,
and the Lakers don't even own their building.
Right.
But what I'm saying is these teams aren't going to get... It doesn't matter. They're not going to get as much money as you are for the Lakers. Like... It doesn't.
Yeah, you're buying the name.
You're buying the name. You're
sure
buying
are.
Name
yeah.
record. That's why Jeannie Buss State name
brand.
Recognition. The,
yes.
brand,
yeah,
the brand. The 18 banners. These other teams.
Right.
You know, the Washington Wizards get sold. They ain't getting $11 billion.
First off, 17. Five of those are Minneapolis. 12 Los Angeles.
Brockman.
Facts matter. How Math many, matters. Facts matter.
How many the Celtics have?
18.
How many were in Boston?
All of them.
Thank you, sir. You're welcome, by the way.
Thank you.
Normally I don't keep spinning curves in that Boston zone.
You're usually not on my team there.
Usually I turn my back on you.
Thank you.
Well, you notice I didn't. You know, I didn't give you any pushback on that because I don't care one way or the other. I don't like you.
The only one who cares is the hostile environment person who's not here.
You understand, pal.
The point being, though, these other teams aren't going to get that much.
Not going to get it.
But you also understand the Lakers. When the Lakers have ceremonies, they do it like first rate, first class, just like the Yankees do. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like there's a certain
the same way, though.
I wish I knew what that was like.
Boston,
man.
New York, and
I'm surprised Rich remembers. It's been so long for the Yankees.
Wow. I can't say nothing. No, I can't.
My God.
I got to bow out of this conversation.
Wait a minute. The feeding hand just got bit. Wow. Out of nowhere. How did you leave teeth marks on me from all the way across the room?
It was so easy. It was just like right there.
Chris, I'm just going to Homer Simpson into the bushes in this conversation. Like, I got nothing to say.
All right. Well, since we didn't do what's more likely, let's have Derek in Missouri help us out with at least a quick one before Tom Pelissero joins us. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rich. So before I get to my what's more likely, let me say two things really quick. One, I was going to say, your golf game, I mean, let's put it this way. If he can't beat Barkley, then I don't know what to tell you because his swing is, you know, just the way it is.
And right.
I would focus more on that karaoke night that you have assigned because you got to deal with Alfonso Ribeiro, and we didn't learn anything from his years on Fresh Prince, and I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Derek, I'm sticking positive. I'm not going to go in the negative swing thought lane. Right now, I'm feeling really good about myself. Had a great lesson yesterday. Yeah. My back is a little bit balky. I'm not focusing on all of that stuff. You know,
we're pumping them out.
Thank you. What's more likely, Derek?
So what's more likely, Rich? Did the Eagles make it back to the Super Bowl, or does Saquon Barkley have another 2,000-yard season?
What do you think, guys?
Super Bowl is my first.
Super Bowl, 2,000-yard seasons to go back to back. Could you imagine? Nobody's ever done that.
No one's ever done it twice either. So
right. Thanks for the call, Derek. I mean, interesting food for thought. What do you think, TJ? Eagles make it back to the Super Bowl?
God, I hope
not. Saquon runs for 2,000 yards again.
I would let Saquon rush for 3,000 yards if Eagles would not get back. But if he does that, that means they are going to the Super Bowl. So I'd rather not even answer this question. Because neither outcome is good for me.
So let's leave him out of this. I would say Eagles make it back to the Super Bowl, wouldn't you think?
I think so. They're still going to be really good. Like, I think, despite losing Kellen Moore, and I think they're still going to be really good.
Yeah.
Milton Williams gone, but still.
I mean, I just think a lot of people might, certainly if they win week one and then, as I mentioned, lose to Kansas City in week two.
What's wrong with the Eagles?
Right? What if they start 2-2 again?
What if they start 0-3?
They were not going to do that.
Look, you can't say that for sure.
They're not going to do that.
That's a really tough opener.
They're not going
all the
to
emotions
do that.
Of the banner raising and all that, and the Cowboys come in and kind of spank them real quick.
You think so?
They go to Kansas City, maybe Super Bowl rematch. Chiefs are a little extra motivated, and then they got the Rams coming in, the team that played them great in the playoffs. Yeah. Maybe Rams do make it happen. They don't fumble like they did a couple of times down
the
stretch.
You think the Dallas Cowboys win on opening
Eagles,
night?
Eagles 0-3.
You think the what's more likely, Dallas Cowboys win or lose opening night?
No one asked me.
I'm just throwing out the scenario where they could be 0-3.
Guys, Pelissero's outside. I don't know where he is, but he's just zoomed in from outside.
Bush in the background.
He had sunglasses on too, which, by the way, I don't mind if he does that.
Put the glasses back on, Tom.
I don't know. So Tom's checking in right now. I don't know what's happening. He just went.
Oh, he's slow.
Oh, yeah. He's in a parking lot? What's going on?
What are we doing?
We'll find out after the break. Tom Pelissero just going
what is
full Caruso in a parking lot. You don't want to do that.
I know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions. So it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available class executive advanced safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. If you're like me, then you are just not yourself when you get a bad night's sleep. Look, sleep plays an important, crucial role in recovery. We're all unique in what we need from our bed, too. That's where Sleep Number can step in. Sleep Number smart beds are the best beds for couples because you can individualize each side. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but we like our side of the bed the way that we like it. Being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out, too, for recovery, it's game-changing. So, why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? I just told you, but I'll do it again. So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. And now it's the Sleep Number 4th of July sale. Save over $600 on the Sleep Number P5 King Smart Bed, the lowest price of the season. Limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See the store or sleepnumber.com for details. Back here on the program, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Tom Pelissero, I think, is he moved inside a car now? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, we've got a location change.
We have a location change. Yeah. What's up, Tom? You went in. You're inside a car in the parking lot. Rather, you looked like you were loitering on the side of a building. That's a bad look for you, man. I like this look better. This is a better look, man.
I was looking for a good spot. Yeah. I'm currently on the way road tripping to a lake for the weekend.
Nice.
Oh, and I thought, all right, best place I could be, just out back at a coffee shop. They got some nice foliage back there.
Nice.
The problem is I realized in break was someone drove up the drive-thrus on the other side of those bushes you saw and started ordering. And I thought that might not be the ambiance we were going for.
I was about to say, I didn't know Mochaccino was unsigned in the NFL. Like, half calf is holding out. Like, we don't need that, Tom.
Currently, my full calf is holding up this phone in the car. Oh, so really, right? it's quite versatile.
I like it.
Well done.
And are you sitting shotgun? Like, you're not sitting in the driver's seat either.
Well,
like,
if I sit in the driver's seat, then you're going to have wheels on both sides.
Understood.
Of me. I'm balancing. This all sounded a lot better in my head when I'm like, I'm going to get an hour and a half down the road, then do the appearance, then drive the rest of the way.
Well, I appreciate you doing this. And so the family's inside? Or you're solo. Are you Han this weekend?
This is college buddies weekend. Oh. So this could be my final appearance on the show. Yeah. Depending how this goes
old school
style.
Yeah.
Tom Pelissero, mid hall pass.
Wow.
Zooming into the Rich Eisen show. That's commitment,
that is,
Tom.
Dedication.
You appreciate that dedication, right?
That is commitment. Woo. Hall pass, Tom Pelissero. Look at you. You look like you're sitting up. He's smiling.
If I sit back, I don't know, just gradually recline here, you know, careful, real casual.
Tom, Sarah's gonna be like, you're looking a little too happy to be by yourself
back here on the Rich Eisen show. Tom Pelissero now sitting inside his car mid hall pass. We just determined that, radio audience. He's on the way to a lake house hanging with college buddies this weekend, and I appreciate you taking a few moments for us, Tom. Thank you for that.
Always, Rich. No matter where I am, no matter what time it is, I'm always here for you.
I appreciate it, but this is the time of year where you can tap out, right? Like, you're not worried about cell reception, right? Like, this is where are we in the clear, Tom?
I got a call from a GM earlier a little bit ago.
Yes.
And we were talking about various things that could transpire sometime in the coming weeks here. And he said, are you going to be out of cell service this whole weekend? I said, well, there is a stretch for about 10 miles around the prison in Stanley and Boyd, Wisconsin, where it gets edgy. I've done this drive a number of times. Outside of that, I think I'm in good shape.
Very good. Tom Pelissero understanding his surroundings right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's outstanding? Like, what can actually pop in the next week? Do you think, Tom? Anything?
You know, the big things we're waiting on are going to be, you know, start out with the pass rusher contracts. Obviously, you know, the Aiden Hutchinson situation has been ongoing for quite some time here. They're not an unmanageable distance apart, but the Bengals' history is that they can take a long time to, you know, to move forward here. I anticipate we're going to get resolution before camp, but nothing's a guarantee. Same thing with TJ Watt and Micah Parsons. You know, all three of those guys, especially Parsons and Watt, because both of them are going to be attempting to, in all likelihood, going to outshoot the $40 million per year on Myles Garrett contracts. Those are more related. Trey Hendrickson, it's not going to be up there. He's not trying to be over $40 million per year. But all three of those contracts, plus Shamar Stewart and that situation in Cincinnati, all those things, sometime between now and mid-July when teams are reporting to training camp, you would anticipate one way or another are going to get resolved, whether that means a new contract or it might mean, you know, somebody not showing up on time for the start of training camp. Obviously, you've got the Jalen Ramsey situation, and there's all kinds of rumors every day about where he's going and who's interested. The reality is we're sitting here, you know, June 19th, and we don't have a deal in place for a player who plainly has no future in Miami, wasn't there for minicamp, was excused amidst ongoing trade talks. They haven't gotten a deal done there yet, but that's one that certainly we're going to be watching between now and training camp. And then, you know, beyond that, you've got some of the other contract situations. Lamar Jackson, you know, do they find a way forward? That's not really pressing because he's got several years left on his contract. Do the Lions jump into the pass rusher market and get Aiden Hutchinson done? You know, all those sorts of things. Plus, you know, the other holdout guys, Terry McLaurin, Jonnu Smith, all those situations. You know, a lot of the people, put it this way, Rich, the people I've talked to within the league predominantly have been on the beach or on their way to the beach. They're all doing the same thing this weekend that I am. Doesn't mean business can't get done. Cell phones do work on the beach, but these next few weeks may be more kind of fits and starts before we get past the 4th of July. And that's when a lot of times that pressure point starts to rise because most teams reporting to training camp July 22nd, sometime between now and then, we're going to have to figure out exactly what's happening.
Yeah, man. So Jalen Ramsey, is it like, I know there's a lot of Rams fans here thinking, well, you know, he won a ring here and let's bring him back here. Would that be a fit? Do you think there's a there for Ramsey to come back to Los Angeles? Tom?
I believe Jalen Ramsey would love to come back to Los Angeles. I believe the Rams would welcome him back at a certain price, but you heard Sean McVay reference it from Maui the other day, just saying there's, you know, there's some complications with getting something done. And that specifically is Jalen Ramsey's due a lot of money, cash and cap this year. If the Dolphins are going to do a deal with a team like the Rams, they might have to eat some of that money. And it hasn't sounded like they've got a great appetite to eat the money. Some of the teams that might take on all the money, that might not be places Jalen Ramsey wants to go. You know, he's kind of dictated these things a couple of times already, from Jacksonville to the Rams, from the Rams to Miami. You know, Jalen Ramsey has shown throughout the course of his career he's willing to push certain buttons and pull certain levers to get to his desired location. Any player's greatest leverage is withholding your services. And if Jalen Ramsey makes it known, hey, I'm not going to show up there. You trade for me, I'm not coming. I'm going to be a problem. You're going to be dealing with this. That team's probably not pulling the trigger on a trade.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Rookie quarterback situations. Cam Ward's going to be a week one starter. I think we can all agree on that. He says he's going to throw the F out of the football between now and the start of training camp. That fired me up, fired everyone up around here. We just got off a Zoom with our buddy Daniel Jeremiah, who thinks Jackson Dart has shown enough already to put him in the sooner rather than later starting category. What are you hearing out of Giants minicamp that's going on right now this week, Tom?
Everything's been positive on Jackson Dart, and obviously this is the first quarterback that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll have been able to put their name on and go and draft that guy. They re-signed Daniel Jones, but that wasn't their draft pick. Jackson Dart is their guy. Jackson Dart, quite frankly, is going to play a big role one way or another in the future and the longevity of Dabes and Shane in New York. At the same time, they brought in Russell Wilson to be the starter and to be the guy until whoever at the time they were going to draft, it ended up being Jackson Dart, until that person was ready to be the guy. I fully anticipate we're going to go into this offseason. Russell Wilson's going to continue to take the vast majority of the number one snaps. He's going to be QB1 as we go into training camp and as we enter the first preseason game. However, we've seen situations evolve in the past. There have been plenty of times where a team has said, you know, hey, we've got a guy in place and we're going to stick with that player. And then all of a sudden you kind of look at it in the preseason and it's like, okay, you're probably going to put the rookie on the field sooner because he just looks better. I mean, there's a myriad examples of that over the course of time. And the question always becomes, then, are you better off rolling that guy right out there in week one? Or is it, okay, we kind of committed to this. You know, this is a probably not the greatest comparison for Giants fans, but just one that comes to mind is when the Bears signed Mike Glennon and then drafted Mitch Trubisky. I was at that first preseason game, and Glennon got the crap knocked out of him. Trubisky came in, and he looked really good, and he's fast, and he's got a big arm and all those types of things. Well, the reason Trubisky went as high as he did, they still went with Mike Glennon into the regular season. But even after that first preseason game, there's questions to the coaches. There's questions to the players about, hey, how soon could Trubisky play? And sure enough, I think he got benched like halftime a week two or something and was out there. That's just kind of the pressure points that rise. Certainly in a market like New York, that is going to be the case as well. And this is a really interesting offseason for quarterbacks, because we've also got a situation in Cleveland where, you know, the public side of things is going to be very, very noisy as we go through training camp in the preseason with the Browns.
Yeah, you're right. That's not a great analogy for Giants fans. You're not wrong.
I happen to be there.
Was that the one where Glennon just flipped a ball? Was it like a pick six? It was awful. He was trying to throw it away. It looked terrible, and we talked about it on game day morning, and Warren Sapp called him Mick Glennon. That's what he called Mick Glennon, is how he referred to Mike Glennon as Mick Glennon, and that's a nickname that has stuck even to text chains today amongst all of us. That's Mick Glennon. I remember that, man. Not what the Giants fans are looking for. That said, though, you mentioned Cleveland, Tom, and Daniel mentioned he wouldn't be surprised if one of the rookies is a week one starter and Pickett gets sent packing or just doesn't make the team somehow. And it's Flacco as the adult in the room with two kids. What do you think, Tom? Here.
I would say this. The hardest thing for the Browns to do week one is start one of the rookies. The hardest thing is to get one of those guys ready to go and roll them out there in week one. Just because of the transition that's involved in getting those guys ready, they're third and fifth round picks for a reason. Joe Flacco's a veteran. You know exactly what you've got in him. Kenny Pickett also has started games. For better or worse, you know what you've got in him. If you start Dylan Gabriel in week one, then the moment something goes bad, everyone's going to be saying, why aren't you starting Shadur? And if you start Shadur in week one,
starting a rookie is really risky. I just think it's going to be Flacco there.
Outside of being the number one pick, you mean, right? Or one of those top draft picks? Well, or?
It's just if you're Stefanski, start Dylan Gabriel. Hey, he showed us he's got the most. He's shown us what we could see, what we saw on tape. He's confirmed it. It's all good.
Right.
And he's the one who goes out against the Cincinnati Bengals and doesn't perform well. What are you just going to, you just going to pull him? You got to give him starts. You got to give him start time.
Yeah.
Same thing with Shadur, right?
Yeah, either guy.
Because if you start him one or two games and then you pull the rug out, like, what are you then going to go? We're going to rotate quarterbacks. Now it looks like you don't have a plan. You don't know what you're doing.
Correct.
Either one. You've got to give the starter, what, a month? Wouldn't you think?
Maybe six, eight weeks. Yeah.
You look at the Cleveland Browns schedule: home for Cincinnati, at Baltimore, home for Green Bay, at Detroit, Minnesota, in London.
It's a rough start.
At Pittsburgh.
It's a rough start.
That looks like Flacco territory to me while a kid marinates. Right? home for Miami, at New England, bye at the Jets. Now that, with all due respect to the teams that I just threw out there, appears to be a softer opportunity for a rookie, certainly with a bye week, to get in there. And then after that, home for Baltimore, at Vegas, home for San Francisco, home for Tennessee, at Chicago. Now you're getting into a spot where that could be a if Flacco doesn't perform well, then you can move to that and tell your fan base, this is what we're attempting to do with our rookie. We're kicking tires prior to having, one would think, a higher draft choice. I think Flacco will perform well. I think we've seen what Flacco does in this offense. I think he and Stefanski are kind of lockstep. I think this is a better team, potentially, offensively, than the one that he had. If Jerry Jeudy is a number one that we saw last year with a whole host of quarterbacks. And I think the first 6 weeks is Flacco territory. What are you going to, you're going to throw Dylan Brooks or Shadur in the deep end of that pool to start? And if he doesn't perform well and it looks ugly, what are you going to pull him and then start the other rookie and then go to Joe? I don't know, man.
Can't do that.
I don't think so. Well, I mean, you can. I mean,
it wouldn't be wise.
Daniel Jeremiah is not fresh off the turnip truck here, you know? So he's got his ear to the ground, and he knows what a kid can do and potentially not do. I mean, that is a rough go of it the first 6 weeks, as well as, you know, a game that the whole country's going to watch in London week five. You know, so that's why I think Flacco, those first 6 weeks, looks to me is somebody who's the adult in the room who basically said, you know, be an adult, act like an adult, right? And that looks like somebody who has grasp of an offense to the point where, okay, this is what we're going to do to start the ship here. And if we're 3-3 or 4-2, then let's stick with them. If we're 1-5, 2-4, then let's go with the kid. But Tom Pelissero, I think, has zoomed back in. You there, Tom?
So we're it good? Turns out,
yes.
If you prop your phone up on the dashboard of your car,
yes.
Up against the coffee cup,
uh-oh.
The sun beating down causes your phone to overheat.
Oh, no.
Oh. So, lesson learned. Should have done this in the first place. We've got the laptop.
It's all good, Tom. Tom, this is great. This is just fine. This is also position number three. You were outdoors, then in the shotgun seat. Now you're behind the wheel of the car.
This is the Kama Sutra of interviews right here,
ladies
Rich.
And gentlemen. Oh, my God. Definitely did not need that visual.
Wow.
All right.
Kama Sutra.
So, let's talk about what you were saying about the Cleveland Browns. You were saying, and if you start Shadur, and that's when your phone overheated. Tom, finish with your thought.
Hey, I don't know exactly where he lost me, so let me say this.
Yes.
The hardest thing that the Browns can do is start one of the rookies, just because you're talking about guys who went in the third and fifth round for a variety of different reasons, including the style of offense that they're coming from. You're talking about ramping them up, devoting enough reps to those guys through the course of the training camp, in the preseason to feel comfortable with them, which are reps then you're not giving to the veterans here, and also trying to overcome the fact that in Shadur Sanders' case, he comes in behind, just in terms of the type of offense, the way that they geared it toward him at Colorado, the number of negative plays that he had. We know he's very tough. He's very accurate. But you're talking about asking a guy to do things that he just didn't have to do at the college level. Dylan Gabriel, who they drafted two rounds before that, let's say Dylan Gabriel is the best quarterback coming out of training camp. Well, the moment Dylan Gabriel, you know, trips up here, guess what's going to happen? People are going to be calling for Shadur. If you go back to, you know, 2012, the Seahawks take Russell Wilson in the third round. It was bumpy in the early portion of the season here, but what were they going to do? Bench Russell Wilson and put in Matt Flynn or Tavarius Jackson? They didn't have the bright, shiny object there. And if you put Shadur onto the field, are you really setting him up for success, knowing that there's a growth process that he needs to go through here. So I know that, you know, there was news made of him getting a speeding ticket for going 101 miles an hour. What I've heard in terms of him being in the building has been all positive. They really like Shador. He works hard. He's got a good personality. All that stuff has been good. There are probably things, we talked about this, Rich, a lot before the draft, where, you know, again, I'm not, you know, blaming this incident on anything else, but it's, you know, the questions were about how is he going to do when he gets outside of the environment of having his dad there with him all the time? How is he going to do when there's different accountability structures here? He said all the right things. He's done the right things in the building. You'd like him to make better choices, obviously, off the field. Maybe this is just a very early kind of wake-up call that, hey, these things are going to happen. You can't do that, Rich, if you're any quarterback in particular, particularly when you're a fifth-round pick who, if your name weren't Shador Sanders, we'd be going, is that guy even going to make the team? I don't think that's going to influence the decision here. It's something that I'm sure they've addressed internally, but it's all part of the growth process he's got to go through here. I would say it's wide open. There is no decision made in Cleveland. It could go a lot of different directions. If Shador is the best quarterback by far in training camp, could he be the starter week one? Sure. I would just say it's the hardest thing. It's the hardest option of the options the Browns have in front of them.
All right. And last one for you, sitting there in the state of Minnesota and making your way to Wisconsin for your boys' trip for the weekend. What is the general sense of J.J. McCarthy's spring readiness for the summer and the fall? Tom.
It sounds like it's been as expected with J.J. McCarthy. He's handled things well from a leadership perspective, from a picking up the offense perspective. It's just, it's still the, you know, the unknown. We haven't seen him in a game situation. We haven't seen him get hit or any of that since the preseason opener last year where he suffered the torn meniscus. There's no, you know, overt or even internal signs that they, you know, have any real concerns. They just, like any other young quarterback, you just don't know how it's going to translate when you get into game action. The one thing they saw last year in August was very good. I mean, J.J. McCarthy, despite suffering an injury in that game, he looked really good and comfortable on the field. You've heard Justin Jefferson, among others, saying positive things about J.J. McCarthy. He does have a way about him that makes it easy to like the guy and to root for the guy. He's coming in with a ton of expectations. You know, a team that won a whole bunch of football games last year with a guy in Sam Darnold who they didn't offer a particularly, you know, compelling contract to because they knew that J.J. McCarthy, they still had a lot of faith in him, a lot invested in him to be the future quarterback. We'll find out, you know, as we get into the real games, you know, how founded that confidence was. But I have not sensed that that is shaken at all. They fully intend and believe that J.J. McCarthy is going to be able to hit the ground running here in the early portion of the season.
And then lastly, what are you hearing about the first week plus of Rodgers being with the Steelers full time in the playbook, communicating fully with the coaching staff as the starting quarterback, how it's going to work, whether he's into the offense is into him, all that business. What are you hearing first blush,
Tom? It's been really good in the building so far in the way that Aaron has treated people, the way that he's gone about his business, getting to know his teammates. He's been good to be around, which that was always the word out of the Jets too, was like nobody disliked this guy. Now obviously things went sideways with the owner among others as time went on, but in terms of like his teammates, like people liked Aaron in New York. You know, there was a bad taste in his mouth from the Jets experience. He now has the chance to wash that out in Pittsburgh. He's clearly motivated. He said himself, this is one for his soul. Everything I've heard is that, you know, behind the scenes, he's been good. And on the field, you know, he can still snap it. You see it even in those little snippets of warmups where, you know, that arm action, that arm twitch that he's always had, that's still there. Can he move around? Can he go in and out of the pocket, extend plays the same way? No. I mean, at this stage of his career, he's 41 years old. He's not going to do that. But, you know, the guy that they saw, even in very limited mini camp reps, that's the guy they're hoping that they have. You just have to, you know, cross your fingers that for the first time in a number of years, Aaron's going to avoid being really banged up in the early portion of the season, which he's going to be able to address by getting the football out of his hands. And then is he going to be able to sustain that, not for two practices in June, but through the entire July, August, the entire regular season, and they hope into the playoffs? There's not a lot of precedent for that. There's not a lot of precedent for quarterbacks outside of Tom Brady to play at a high level beyond age 40 and play full seasons and stay healthy and stay on the field. And obviously Brady's a really rare case. Aaron just, you know, he's saying the right things. He's doing the right things so far in the building. You know, when it comes right down to it, Rich, he's going to be fighting against 20 plus years of his own instincts of holding the ball and waiting for something and checking the play and throwing on the designed run play. There's some of that he's going to have to take out of his toolbox, frankly, in order for him to stay healthy and avoid those hits that accumulated. But he's got a better offensive line. You can certainly argue that he has the opportunity to have as good of a supporting cast in terms of the skill position weapons than the one that he had with the Jets. And you're just hoping that everything kind of, you know, it's the perfect storm and this guy's able to stay on the field.
Tom, drive safe. May your cell reception stay strong and your phone still stay silent.
Phone's back. Phone's back. TJ has not texted me yet. You'll be heartened to know that. So apologies for the technical difficulties.
Oh, brother, all good, man. Be safe. Lake safe. Enjoy your time. You deserve it, pal.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks, fellas.
Tom Pelissero, everybody. Right, say hi to the fellas in the lake.
When was the first time you met Magic? What's your first time you ever
met him? The first time I ever met Magic, you know, back in the day, the draft wasn't what it is today.
Sure.
It was, they just called the players and said, oh, you've been drafted. Mm-hmm. So once Magic was drafted by the Lakers, they flew him out to LA. Mm-hmm. And Bill Sharman, who was the general manager of the team, brought him over to my dad's house. And my dad said, you know, Jeannie, they're going to be coming over here. I got some stuff to do upstairs. Will you just bring them in, seat them in the living room, and offer them something to drink? So, you know, I was 17 years old. Magic was 19. So the doorbell rings. I open it up, and there's this smile of this guy that just, you know, was so fun watching on TV, and now I'm meeting him in person. So he came in, we sat down, he talked about how excited he was to be drafted to the Lakers, but that he was only gonna stay 3 years until he could go home and play for the Pistons.
And he told this to you?
This is what he told me.
In your house?
In my dad's house. So I ran upstairs.
Okay.
And, you know, I was panicked and I said, Dad, you're not going to believe what he just told me, that he wants to go home and play for his team back home. And my dad didn't miss a beat. And he said, first time he walks out on the floor at the Forum, he's never going to leave.
That's what he said.
That's what my dad said. And he knew the love affair that he had brought somebody that the city would fall in love with, and Magic would fall in love with the city. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, Magic's never left.
How often do you remind Magic of
all
this
the
story?
Time?
You do.
But that you know, it kind of made sense for who he was, you know, that he, you know, how much his hometown means to him.
Do you ever sit back and go, wow, I'm now the controlling owner of the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
and the guy who I am putting in charge as the person to make sure that we get all the trophies in the case is Magic Johnson.
You know, we were raised by the same man, basically Dr. Buss. You know, Magic coming to the team at 19. You know, my dad had a lot of influence, and Magic was somebody who wanted to learn about the business side of the operation. And you know, it's so interesting working with him because we see things the same way because we were brought up under the same philosophy. He and I both see what needs to be done and will continue to do until, you know, we've reached our goal, which is to make LA proud of this team.
Yada yada yada. $10 billion later. You know?
Oh,
amazing to look back on these conversations. I think it was the first of many Jeannie Buss appearances in our studio back in 2018. She also appeared on Women's Sports Now. Latest edition of Women's Sports Now is available right here on the Roku channel. I believe that might even follow our show today, as it frequently does on Thursdays here on the Roku Sports channel. I love when we look back on stuff that we did 7-8 years ago, and now the story's advanced. They sold the
Crazy.
Team, man. The Buss family is no longer going to be the controlling owner of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wild.
Different times. I know it is wild.
It is pretty wild.
Yeah.
For sure. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Top five teams with the most crucial training camps.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, top five teams with the most crucial training camps. in the NFL.
Interesting.
Presented by Hyundai.
Okay.
Nobody talking about the Atlanta Falcons having a crucial training camp, but I kind of think they do. Let's see. Let's see what's going on. It's not just what's in their training camp with Michael Penix Jr. It's what's going on outside other training camps for their other quarterbacks who's going to be taking second team reps. And Kirk Cousins. Pretty crucial training camp. Year two for Raheem Morris there. Didn't make the playoffs last year when it looked like they could. Disappointing finish of what looked like a promising start. Let's see what the Falcons training camp has. Number four on this list is the Indianapolis Colts. It's going to be a wild training camp, obviously, with Jim Irsay's passing. Daniel Jones will be the primary passer with Anthony Richardson, all eyes on his shoulder. What's going on? Shane Steichen's second training camp is the HC there. And new ownership. How patient are they going to be, the Irsay kids? Number three on this list is the Minnesota Vikings. We just had Tom Pelissero from Minnesota talk about his reporting that everything's been copacetic, looking good, but what will it look like with J.J. McCarthy all training camp long, preseason football as well? He is definitely going to be the quarterback, though. Number two, the Cleveland Browns training camp. Ooh, what will it look like with the quarterbacks? Will Joe Flacco just sit back and everyone else gets the reps and Joe's just going to be the starter anyway, but somebody else gets all those reps and looks great? What happens there? Kenny Pickett, does he get caught? Does he get traded? Does he win the starter's job? Ooh. Number one, though, is without a doubt the Pittsburgh Steelers, because Aaron Rodgers had just a couple of mini camp sessions. This, though, is the rubber meeting the road. And how healthy does he emerge from training camp? What does it look like in training camp? What are the Steelers doing offensively on all of those fronts? Without a doubt, the most crucial training camp of the National Football League summer belongs to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's my top five most crucial training camps presented by Hyundai. And it's all sponsored by Hyundai's 2025 hybrid vehicle lineup. Advanced safety and technology meets hybrid efficiency. It's the best of both worlds.
You have one more. I did not know this.
My guy, Koopy. Koopy the dude.
I love that.
I'll give you one more training camp. Seattle Seahawks have a crucial training camp. Not because Sam Darnold could lose the gig. I don't want to hear that. I don't hear that at all.
That's pretty foolish.
It is stupid.
Yeah.
It is the dumbest spring storyline of 2025.
Ooh, that's a good top five.
I had a dumber one yesterday.
All right. No.
I'm going to write that down.
Dak is absolutely in need of a championship more than
five.
More than anyone else.
More than.
But I want to see, what does Jalen Milroe do? What are they going to do with him? Are we going to see a Milroe package? Are we going to see anything of that? That's one thing. But listen, Clint Kubiak's the new OC there. We've got to get Sam Darnold rolling going into the season. What about the receiver group minus DK Metcalf? What about the defense? Year two of Mike McDonald. It's a pretty crucial training camp season. I just went a little higher register on you right there. But I'm throwing the Seahawks in that mix. Hmm. For a crucial training camp, as we're 1 month away from the whole shooting match. Did I miss anybody? I was thinking of throwing the Jets in there, Giants in there, anything with an up, you know, new quarterback situation or a potentially up in the air quarterback scenario. I was thinking of throwing out there as well.
Bears, kind of.
Because it's a new coach, new situation.
Expectations too. Expectations bring a little bit, bigger microscope.
I kind of think they got the coaching right, and there is no doubt the coach is going to tell the quarterback how to watch film and what to watch.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's a good one. Travis Hunter, baby.
Oh yeah.
Saints.
Yeah, that's a good one. I just didn't think they'd crack a top five.
No, but I mean,
have we gone a new drop, or you're flying?
I was flying by. I gotta record that one.
Okay,
yeah, we will. We'll have it.
Thank you, Mike. When will we have it?
Once post show. Gotta record.
Post show. There's no show tomorrow. It's just today.
Have it for next week, Mike. Are you here next week?
Yes.
Hey.
Multiple days.
Look at
multiple
you.
Multiple days.
I told you. I had a couple weeks. I was a little crazy.
Don't pull anything. No, he told me.
Yeah, I said it.
Don't pull anything, Mike. That's all. Be careful.
No.
You know, we can't have you cramping up just, you know, with a week and a half off. I know you've been working Faders on Pico, but this is a different show, sir.
Faders on Pico.
Faders on Pico. Andrew Whitworth coming up.
Oh, my God.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
Inside the opening 45 seconds. What a goal! With that cannon of a left foot. All even at one.
Never miss a game.
What a start for the United States.
Shot from distance. What a goal!
Never miss a moment.
Exquisite from the San Diegan.
Can he finish? Yes, he can!
Yeah! The U.S. Soccer Podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.